The scripture reading for this morning is from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. "Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way, a voice shouting in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptist was in the wilderness, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Several years ago, I was trying to make a very quick hospital visit between the two worship services. That was my first mistake, but it was a very small town, and the hospital was close by, and I thought I could make it. My second mistake was driving like my beloved husband, Mike Harris, who gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, a need for speed. I was cutting through a residential area at a pretty fast little clip when I noticed the blue lights in my rearview mirror. So I pulled over to the side of the road, rolled down my window, went ahead and got out my driver's license and my proof of insurance. The policeman walks up to the window and he says, "Do you know how fast you were going, ma'am?" I don't understand why they always ask that question, because the answer is very obvious. You're going too fast, or they would have not pulled you over. After he checked my license and my insurance, he asked me where I was going, and I told him I was a pastor on my way to the hospital to visit one of my church members. I thought about telling him I was on a mission for God, like the Blues Brothers, but he did not look like he had a sense of humor. After I told him why I was driving a little too fast, he said to me, "If I did not slow down, I would not be visiting the hospital. I would be a patient in the hospital." He was very kind, though. He did not issue me a ticket, but his final words to me were short and very much to the point. "Ma'am, slow down. I mean it. Slow down right now." Believe it or not, that policeman and John the Baptist have a lot in common this morning, because both of them are trying to get us to slow down and to pay attention during the season of Advent. Now, it's very interesting to me that we get this slow down moment in the Gospel of Mark, because there is nothing slow about this Gospel. Mark moves at lightning speed. Mark's gospel is the shortest gospel. It's almost like one of those sports highlight reels. It just moves and moves and moves. Mark's favorite word is immediately, and he uses that word 41 times in this very short gospel, three times more than the other gospels put together. Now, the gospels of Matthew and Luke, they give us the beautiful teachings and healings and miracles of Jesus, and we love those gospels. And the Gospel of John gives us those beautiful images, "I am the bread of life." But Mark's gospel is all about the facts, all about the action. Now, the reason we're hearing from Mark's gospel this morning is because it really is an Advent gospel. This Advent season, we're using all four of the Gospels, a different one on each Sunday, as a lens to see the birth of Jesus in a brand new way. Our theme is one baby, four stories. So, what does Mark have to say about the birth of Jesus? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, there are no angels, no shepherds, no mention of Mary and Joseph. There is no star, no manger, no wise men. By the time we meet Jesus in Mark's gospel, he is already a grown man. So the obvious question is, why is Mark's gospel included in this Advent series? Which, by the way, is based on a book called Awakening the Already. Well, the answer is simple. This is an Advent gospel. In our very fast, very hectic, very chaotic world, we need Advent more than ever. We live in a world of deadlines, a world of instant gratification, and none of us are very good at slowing down anymore. Additionally, this time of the year, we are all moaning and groaning because we're not ready for Christmas yet. There are trees to trim, there are gifts to wrap, there are cookies to bake, there are eggs to nog. None of these things are bad. They're all wonderful and joyous, but that is not what Advent is all about. You see, the basic problem is we just want to skip over Advent and get to the good stuff. We want to get to Christmas. You know what I'm talking about, those wonderful images of the angels singing in that dark night sky, shepherds tending their flock by night, and that beautiful star above the manger. We want that Hallmark card, Christmas. But that is Christmas. It is not Advent. So the question we must ask ourselves this morning is, what are we supposed to be doing during Advent? Well, the answer is pretty straightforward. We're supposed to be rebooting. We're supposed to be making a course correction. We're supposed to be slowing down and paying attention. That's the reason we hear every year from our old friend John the Baptist screaming at us to prepare. Because if he doesn't say that, we will not do it on our own. Now, interestingly enough, the key to this passage is found in that word, prepare. Mark uses it twice in our reading this morning, and it's critically important to understand its meaning in context. Because in Greek, the word prepare has two separate meanings. We first heard the word in verse 2, he will prepare your way. Now, the use of prepare in this context means to construct, to create, and it was used to describe the building of the tabernacle, the building of Noah's Ark, important vessels that were associated with God's presence. So when this is applied to human beings, it means that we are to be made ready as vessels, recipients of God's love, compassion, and grace. In other words, we are preparing to be a vessel through which God's love can enter history. That's the first use of prepare. Now, the second use of prepare is when John screams out to us, prepare the way of the Lord. Now, this time, the word prepare is used in the sense of getting ready for a big event. In the New Testament, it's used to describe a wedding or a banquet. It's used to describe the arrival of God's great heavenly future or the second coming of Jesus. But here's the interesting part. The only time the word prepare is used in this context in all four of the Gospels is when they describe Jesus and the disciples' preparations for the Last Supper. Now, you already know, in the Jewish tradition, the Passover meal was the yearly celebration when the people remembered their deliverance from slavery in Egypt. We Christians remember the meal as the Last Supper because that was the final meal that Jesus shared with his disciples before his betrayal, his arrest, and his crucifixion. It represents Christ's sacrifice for us. So basically, by using this word prepare in two ways, Mark is telling us to get ourselves ready as vessels or a home to receive Jesus and to participate sacramentally in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. But Mark has one more Advent lesson for us this morning. He uses the word prepare twice at the beginning, but there is one place where all four Gospels agree. The best way to prepare for for the arrival of Jesus is to make his paths straight. You hear that language in all four of the Gospels. So, in other words, if you want to prepare for Jesus in a way that will lead to an abundant, holy, and true life, then that path must be in a straight line. You cannot chase rabbits down a trail. You cannot turn right or left. You cannot wander off on your own. You must stay focused on the reason for the season. And that is easier said than done, because left on our own, we cannot walk in a straight line. Now, as strange as it sounds, human beings literally cannot walk in a straight line. Studies since the 1920s, scientists have been studying this phenomenon, and what they discovered is if you blindfold a person and have them attempt to walk across a field in a straight line, they simply cannot do it. Now, they start out in a straight line, and they will hold it for a little while, but eventually they begin to veer off, either to the right or to the left. Eventually, they begin to walk in circles, and most of the time, they wind up right where they started. So, what's the solution to this phenomenon? Well, the answer is pretty simple. You need a focal point. I remember when I was in seminary and I was staying with my Nashville family, 10-year-old Hannah had been taking ballet lessons since she was about 2 years old. And she wanted to show me one afternoon how you do a perfect pirouette. Now, a pirouette is when a ballerina steps up on one toe with her other leg cocked at an angle and they spin very quickly in a circle, very quickly in a circle. And Hannah did that beautifully that day. She must have spun around 4 or 5 times. Now, when I asked her how she twirled in a perfect circle, never veering from that spot where she had her foot planted on the floor, this was her answer. "Oh, Miss Sherry, you have to find something to focus on, and you have to look at it, and every time you come around, you focus on that spot. You never take your eyes off of it." Well, that, my friends, is what we're supposed to be doing in the season of Advent. We are supposed to be focusing on what God has done and is doing in our lives. We are not to take our eyes off that straight path. And that is the reason our old friend John the Baptist burst into the scene with flashing lights in our rearview mirror like some kind of holy policeman, telling us to slow down, to pay attention, and prepare. Being prepared means we need to watch for those holy moments that just break into our lives, because they happen each and every day. But that is very difficult to do in this hectic holiday season. We get so caught up with making our lists and checking them twice and decorating and attending Christmas parties and all the other joys of the season that we forget the best way to prepare for Christmas begins with our hearts. Before we do anything else, we must set our hearts straight and ask God to show us everything that is crooked in our lives so that we can truly make a straight path for the Lord. And that is also why we are hearing from Mark's gospel this morning. There are no angels, there are no shepherds, there's no Mary and Joseph, no sweet baby Jesus in the manger. Instead, there is only the voice of the prophet crying in the wilderness, speaking to each and every one of us across the centuries. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his paths straight. Now, that may not sound much like Christmas to you, but it sure sounds like Advent to me. And that is exactly where God wants us to be. With God's help, may we all walk a straight Advent path together. Thanks be to God. Amen.